not trying to put myself in any particular box because what works for you might not work for other people and vice versa. I think oftentimes in life and society, we're all trying to look for the life hacks and we're all trying to ascribe to what society might tell us, hey, we should do these things. I say, decide what recharges your battery the best and do that. Some people, it might be working out. Some people, it's family time. Some people, it's actually working more. Now, those people exist. Should we tell someone, hey, you're having too much family time, you should actually work more? We would never say that. So I would say, as an individual, be okay with not going with what society or others tell you, you quote, should do, and be okay exploring to see what recharges your battery the best.
Mental health champions, we are back here on a mental health break, and I'm excited to take the show out to Chicago, Illinois, to bring on someone who is extremely passionate about this field. He's a board-certified psychiatrist and the founder of Mugen, which is a practice serving patients in the inpatient environments in and around his area. His mission is quite simple, everyone, to bridge the disparity, excuse me, in psychiatric care to community psychiatric settings with his passion and skills in clinical decision making, continuing education. I love the entrepreneurship and medicine aspect to his journey. Alan, thank you so much for joining a mental health break.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
I'm excited because, as I mentioned, he's got a lot of passion. I can go on and on with his bio, with his completions and his awards. He most recently, in 2023, was awarded the Roeske Award for teaching by the APA for outstanding and sustained contributions to the medical education on a national level. Let's go back to when you were a kid, Alan. Did you always know you were going to be in the medical field?
No way, man. I came from a blue-collar background. I was just a kid, born and raised in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, New York. I was there until about I was 12 or 13. My mother, she worked at a car dealership. My dad, he's a mechanic. My grandparents owned a fish market. Nobody went to college. All of this was quite a surprise for everybody.
Well, it seems that you've really dedicated yourself to improving your craft. I mentioned that most recent award. Let's take it back now to when you first started your practice. I mean, what was all of that going on?
You know, there's a lot of comparison to other businesses, I think, that work, especially in the service industry. You know, because at the end of the day, medicine is a service and psychiatry is a service. Back when I was in training in residency, I noticed that the ways in which patients were being cared for, the way mental health was being practiced and talked about in the hospital settings was not standardized. So what I ended up doing was I asked the question, why is it not standardized? Wouldn't it be better for everyone? And typically, what happens on the weekends and holidays is people usually get a little bit more lax in the treatment and the things going on in the hospital settings. Why is that? Because the folks on Monday through Friday are off. So, what I did was I created a company where we provided those high-level services. So, there's no gaps in care on the weekends.
And it's certainly a huge need that you're filling. Think about it. Monday to Friday, we're all hands on deck. Now the weekends were short-staffed, holidays, extra frenzy. What was your first step into standardizing this process?
So the first thing was asking the question of number one, why was it not standardized? Number two, I took everything that I did and I essentially wrote it down and turned it into protocols. So I took my process, which at the time I never really wrote down, I just had it all in my head. I wrote it down and created this checklist or recipe. And what I did was use many iterations where I taught this to some of my staff and they would come back to me, they say, "Oh, you know, Dr. Akira, it could be better." And I said, you know what? If you can make it better, I'll pay you. So I started positively reinforcing the iterations that were coming. And now we're on iteration, maybe number five of one of our processes. And it's way better. And everyone's on board because they also had a hand to play in terms of creating it.
Very well put there, and giving people the feeling of inclusion and belonging will certainly increase their willingness to be a part of whatever you're doing. So thank you for that. What did you find the biggest mental health, not struggle? I know it wasn't standardized. So what was the biggest mental health related area you noticed that was like big red flag, red light, like this hospital is nowhere near the care of this hospital?
I think it's how medicine was being practiced. I think in terms of therapy, there's this thought that therapy works best in long form in the outpatient clinic setting. If you look at all of our studies that look at various modalities of therapy for different disorders and diseases, all of them are usually weeks or months in length. What no one really asked the question was, could you do viable therapy in shorter periods of time while you're in the hospital setting? Now, off the bat, you might say, I don't think that can happen because it's not enough time. What I want to do was challenge that bias. So what I did with my team is we created a set of therapeutic scripts that we could use for patients, even though they were in that environment, so they could get value and not have to wait to get that therapeutic encounter.
Shortening the process is beneficial, excuse me, to every consumer because they don't have that itty bitty committee in their head. Oh, I didn't go through 5 months, for example, of this process. I love that. Everyone out there, you're not alone. He's doing his best out there to make sure we do have someone to talk to. We do have all the resources we need. Do you see yourself expanding this practice outside the Chicago area? I know I'm judging here by all of your accomplishments. You're very ambitious. What do you plan on doing here?
I'm not a big outcome guy. I'm a big input guy. I'm not the first person to say that, obviously, because at the end of the day, I can't really expect, that the world or the universe is going to give me anything. It's really about shifting my framework into how can I be useful? That's the new problem I'm trying to solve now, is how can I be useful? How can I be helpful? Because I have full control over what I can give, but not over what I can receive. And what I'll say is, if there's an audience, if there's a market, if there are hospitals that are requiring our services, then we'll keep matching that need.
I love that, and thank you for your continued efforts to the mental health field. Did you notice any real challenges when you were trying to get this implemented? Was there any pushback or drawback from anyone you were trying to get involved with this?
Yeah, at the end of the day, with a service-based industry and business, we're starting from zero to one. And our company, there really isn't a comparator in the market. So being okay playing in the sandbox alone was something I had to learn how to do. And being okay with failing fast, making mistakes, understanding that there's no template here, so we have to kind of create. But with that creation needs to come iteration, like I mentioned earlier. And I always convince myself that whatever goes good will never be good forever. And to think that it would be is just a bit naive on my part. So I have to convince myself continuously, hey, whatever it takes, there's going to be multiple iterations here, and that's okay.
The only constant in life is that change. You said that perfectly. Now, everyone out there, he's using the iteration and ways to fine-tune his program. We can also apply that to ourselves. We are all a work in progress. What works for some doesn't work for everyone. That's why I'm asking our guest of honor today, what are some things that you do to take care of your mental health? Everyone knows listening on, I'm the gym rat. I'm up at 3:30, 4. I'm in the gym. That's the way I control my negative thoughts. What are some things that you work for you?
I think the big thing for me, and hopefully the audience gets value in this as well, is not trying to put myself in any particular box because what works for you might not work for other people and vice versa. I think oftentimes in life and society, we're all trying to look for the life hacks and we're all trying to ascribe to what society might tell us, hey, we should do these things. I say, decide what recharges your battery the best and do that. Some people, it might be working out. Some people, it's family time. Some people, it's actually working more. Now, those people exist. Should we tell someone, hey, you're having too much family time, you should actually work more? We would never say that. So I would say, as an individual, be okay with not going with what society or others tell you, you quote, should do, and be okay exploring to see what recharges your battery the best. For me, it's definitely cooking, spending time with
Nice.
family. And definitely enjoying the nice city of Chicago.
Gotta ask, what's your go-to dish?
Oh man, when I'm cooking. Okay, so this is my Korean side of things. So my grandmother used to make this beautiful kimchi jjigae, and I make that once in a while now at home.
And what is that for us?
So a kimchi jjigae is a fermented cabbage dish that
Okay.
is stewed and cooked, usually with a little bit of pork belly. and it comes out wonderfully was served over white rice.
I love it. Well, everyone out there, be sure to try it. I'm adding it to my list as well. I love always just bringing the personal side to these mental health conversations as well, letting our guests know a little more about you than just, like you said, the box. I bring on someone expert in psychiatry. No, he also has some passions too. Everyone out there, I love what he just said, and I typed it up here for the notes when we go live. Not putting yourself in any box. It is very easy to do that, especially with society's pushes and the way they throw things at you, but you've really encouraged us to be our true selves. We've touched on a lot, but I now want to delve a little deeper here. When you go and you're extending, this is the entrepreneur in me now asking questions. When you're getting involved building this mental health, any initiative in the mental health world, there's pushback besides just the entrepreneurial pushback because you're new. There's still a lot of stigma associated with mental health in different areas. What are some ways that you think your business here can destigmatize mental health even more?
I think the way to go about the destigmatization of mental health is first understanding that oftentimes in life, it's not an issue of malice, it's an issue of lack of information. That's called Hanlon's razor. And whenever someone comes at me and maybe they're a bit coming off abrasive about mental health, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's not real health. Oh, it's not true medicine. I always convince myself it's probably out of a place of lack of information. So it's my first job as an educator is to educate.
Yep.
And most people tend to believe what they see, not what they hear. So when I do educate, I try to bring in real stories of real people so that people can say, you know what? I think I know someone like that. You know what? I might be just like that as well. But I think education has to be the first step in breaking the mental health stigma.
And you said it perfectly. We live in this digital age where we have resources on resources, but the problem is that is getting the correct information. There's a lot of information out there, but getting the correct pieces of information, like our guest of honor today, will go a long way. I do have one more question about the early start. You mentioned, and I love how you shared this part. Thank you, where your family was not in this career route. This was something completely new. When did you know that your specific area within psychiatrics was going to be your focus? What was there a turning point, or what pushed you to that where?
At some point in the career journey, I identified the thing that did not make me tired. I identified the thing that I never went home after the day and said, oof, I need a break. I identified the thing that I never said, you know what, I need a vacation. You know what? In fact, every time I did my work, I was recharged. And I think being very mindful of, again, what recharges us and what drains us is
I love that.
essential when we're building our personal identity, as well as we're building our business, and lean into that which recharges you.
I love that. Everyone out there, lean into what recharges you, lean into your passions, lean into all of the above. He's provided a lot of inspiration for us today to not only be mentally free, but to chase what is best for us. Don't live in that box. So what that your parents were on different paths? It's a different time. And that sure is true now in the BC, I mean the AC after COVID era. I'd love to ask you, Alan, where can we find more about you online? Where can we say hello about and your business, everything?
Well, I have a newsletter. It's called Thought for the Week.
Cool.
And I do participate in LinkedIn mostly. So you guys can find me at LinkedIn at Alan Akira MD.
What was the motivation behind the newsletter? I know how much time goes into those things. I don't hold myself accountable enough for letting them go.
Yeah, you know, it I started thinking as a business owner, what are my highest leverage behaviors and how do I do more of that? And one of the things I noticed was it has to be the education side. And I educate all the clinicians that we work with. And obviously, I educate the patients we serve. But how do I expand that education even greater? How do I leverage software, technology, and the internet to do that at a greater scale? And that's where the idea of the newsletter comes from. I mentioned earlier in the pod, you know, we work with different therapeutic scripts that we can use in the inpatient hospital setting. A lot of that is just translated into the newsletter for public view.
Free tools, free nuggets. You hear this, everyone. Be sure to subscribe and check out all he has to offer. Be sure to check out the show too. at a mental health break. And on Instagram, we're at a mental health break podcast because I got locked out and there's no way back in. I am at Vincent A. Lancey on all social. Be sure to throw subscribe to YouTube to get some video previews of this a mental health break episode, with all episodes being on a mentalhealthbreak.com. If you'd like more information on launching your podcast or book, email my team. Danica's there to help. Podcastbylancey@gmail.com. And with that, we are signing off today from Tampa, Florida, all the way to Chicago, Illinois. Alan, thanks so much for joining our mental health community.
Thanks to you and the community. Take care.